But I want people to see the beauty, the beauty, the beauty the Lord has worked in your life. That's the good works. You're beautiful because the Lord is in your heart.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, January 28, 2024. Pastor Zonia is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Light of the World, and our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And now, here's Pastor Zonia.
We're looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm really thankful that we could go into the depths of this sermon, and we can actually stay in this sermon for the rest of the year without any kind of an issue, because it brings to light the importance of Jesus' words to our hearts and to our lives. So let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, which is our portion for this Sunday. And let's hope we can get through that without many, many issues at hand. And it says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And verse 16, in the same way, let your what? Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise or glorify your Father in heaven. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Last week, we were talking about salt, because it says you're the salt of the earth. And the world needs salt because it's corrupt. But it also needs light because it's in darkness. A great preacher of the word by the name of Campbell Morgan said the following. He says, Jesus, looking at the multitudes of his day, saw the corruption, the disintegration of life at every point, its breakup, its spoiled, and because of his love for the multitudes, he knew the thing that they needed most was salt in order that the corruption should be arrested. And he saw them wrapped in gloom and doom, sitting in darkness, amidst fog and non-understandable darkness. And so Jesus also said he knew that they all needed above all else light. Salt and light. So Jesus calls you and I to be salt. You are the salt. You are the light. And Jesus calls us to be light. You are the light of the world. Salt is hidden. Light is obvious, not hidden. Salt works secretly. Light works openly. Salt works from within. Light works from without. Salt is more indirect influence, while light is more direct influence and communication. Salt works through our living, but light works through our teaching, our preaching, our voice. Salt may be looked at as being negative because it can retard corruption, but cannot change corruption into incorruption. Light is more positive because it only reveals what is wrong and produces what is right. You and I are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. Think of the investment of God in your life to call you and to make you light and salt, salt and light. It's possibly, they say, one of the greatest compliments for the Lord Jesus to say to the Christian, you know, as long as I'm in the world, Jesus said in John 9, I am the light of the world. But the moment I step out of this world, you are the light of the world. Whoa. I wish he would say media sombrita. You know? Shadow. No, but no. And he says, I want you to be nothing less than what I am. Jesus wants us to fully, totally represent him. He says, you need to be like me. And John says that those who say they love God, and they must walk like God walked, like Christ walked. So the concept of light is interesting because the light in the New Testament has a whole concept of theology. And the Jewish people believed that they were a light to the Gentiles. And they always believed that they were the ones who showed to the world the greatness of God. And at the same time, the light that they had, the Jewish people had, they claimed God lit the lamp. It wasn't that they produced their light, but God lit their lamp. And so they were shining to the world because God had given them the light. And that's exactly the way it works in your life and my life. Because you and I are not to produce our own light, but we are to take his light in our lives. He lights our candle. He lights our heart. We are not here to produce our own light, but we are to allow his light to be attached to us. People who proclaim God's light in the world usually are engulfed in darkness. And Jesus said in Luke 1:79, that he came to show to the world light and to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, that they would see a light. And you and I have that responsibility to let our lights shine in such a way that people will see the Lord. We have to be a reflection of him in our lives. And the only way you can shine like that is when you have him in your heart. Do you have Jesus in your heart? Are you shining? I let that light shining. What did he mean when you said you are the light of the world? There are three things I want to share with you this morning. And the first one is very, very understanding. Your light, my light, is meant to be seen. People need to see your light. Obviously, isn't it? But not really, because sometimes we hide what God has done in our lives. And we become his secret disciples. And all of a sudden, instead of allowing the light of Christ to shine in our lives and in our hearts, we don't shine. We hide it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, says the chorus. We hide it. That's why he says we should not hide the lamp. We should let everybody know. We should let everybody see the work that the Lord has done in your life. People say, well, I'm going to serve the Lord, but I'm going to be a silent disciple, or I'm going to be a secret disciple, or I'm going to be a secret Christian. There is no such thing. You and I must show our Christianity wherever we are. It should be perfectly visible to everyone. That when they see you, they know that you and me, that we are Christians. And that we're not hiding the fact that Christ is in our lives and hearts. He didn't say you're the light of the church. Though some of you are glowing right now. This is not where it's supposed to glow. We're supposed to be 24/7, but specifically, we're not only to be visible here to give witness of what God is doing in our lives, but Christianity needs to affect the entire world. So every one of us must be an active light giver. We must show to the world that Christ has done something in our lives. And this is remarkably an attribute of the true Christian, that he or she walks shining and beaming the work that Christ has done in their lives. So in all the ordinary activities of the day, for instance, Christianity should be visible when we treat someone at the market. Someone across the counter. I wrote it down here. The way we order a meal in a restaurant. You know, I've seen Christians kind of ruthless how they treat people who serve the tables. Yeah, well, anyway, let's not move on. Yeah, let's move on. The way we treat those who we employ, if we have to have a business, or how we treat our employer. In the way we play a game. Next one's going to touch all of you. The way you drive. The way you fight for a parking space. See, this is why I wanted to preach this in Spanish. Or in a daily language we use. Or the books we read. I'm going to get close now. Is your light shining when you're seeing that television program? What about Facebook and all the other stuff in the media? You know, Christianity is a full-time job. It's not just reserved for once a week, but every single day of our lives, our light must shine. We have to shine everywhere we go. So we should just be a wonderful, emeritus, wonderful producing Christian at your job, in school, in the kitchen. And if you happen to play golf, God bless you. I don't. I tried it. I almost threw the whole thing in the lake. Whatever you do, there needs to be a gyroscope. There needs to be a sense of, I am representing the Lord and I am the light of the world that surrounds me right at this moment. Again, it should be evident to everybody. You should be seen. All right? So would you say, I want to be seen? Oosh. Why don't I just say that you're being found out? But this light, you're supposed to show it. Remember, we talked about salt as being functional. And light is also functional. Well, the light is also supposed to be a guide. To guide people. To guide different moments of life. Very difficult to drive at night with no lights, especially when you don't know the area. Light makes the way clear. It drives away darkness. It was, I think, last year or a year and a half ago, so I lose time sometimes on some of these events. But it was at least not more than 2 years ago that Margie Wilmus, we called her sister, passed away, and we went to Kansas. And, you know, have you ever driven a car in Kansas? Okay. Prepare yourself. There are no lights. Many of the streets have no lights. And there was, we went that day, and it so happened there was a, like a tornado. Oh, we went through it. I mean, Kansas is not the place for me. But what happened that day, they told us, if you leave early in the morning, you'll catch the plane better. And we were away for about a couple hours away from the airport. I remember getting in the car, taking deep breaths, and took off. Well, the lights were not there. You know, California highways are beautiful. Until you leave California, and they say, what is this? Well, I missed the on-ramp. Another hour, I was going to be in Colorado. There was no light. I didn't see the sign. There was no light. And light needs to be a guide. By the way, I did make it because I'm here now. But But light makes the way clear to others. And you and I are the light of the world. You need to make it clear when there's darkness around you. There's plenty of darkness today. But of necessity, that light is translated into living examples of how life is to be lived in the midst of whatever you're going through. We need to be exemplary. We need to say, this is how you live. In spite of whatever is going on in your life, you still have a light and you're guiding people, and they need to say to you, wow, is that how you live? Is that how you do it? How do you do it? You know, sometimes we say, I'm a Christian, I have no problems, but that's an oddity because all of us have problems. The issue is we provide light to people who are going through similar problems that we're going through. And we show them moral strength. And you show people courage. Sure, you're hurting. Sure, you're going through things, but the Lord is with you. And he makes the difference. And people look at you and they say, my goodness, it can be done. It's a myth that you come to Christ and all your problems disappear. The truth is you come to Christ and all the problems are resolved under his light and his guidance. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The valley doesn't get itself removed, but it takes away the fear because God's there. Amen. And God's in control. So what I'm saying is you and I need to show to other people our courage to go through issues in life. We need to be channels of goodness. We need to be pointing to people that in spite of what's wrong in the world, there's a God who loves and cares. And we must live up to that. And understand that God will not let us go without him furnishing the responses that we need in our lives. Someone said, you know, if you had only shown me, then I would have done that. Well, you need to show people. You need to stand for the Lord and show them how they can be courageous in God to go through the things you're going through. I'm the light of the world, Jesus said, while I'm here. But now you are the light of the world. And the world needs to understand that there's a guidance that can be provided as you follow me. So the world needs guiding lights. The world needs you to show to others how you live and how you're living and how you understand that God is in charge of whatever goes on in your life. There may be pain. There may be moments of uncomfortable feelings and difficulties, but the Lord is there. And the Lord gives you the buoyancy and the strength to go through it. Well, the world needs guiding lights. And there are people that are waiting to see God through you. You are the light of the world. You need to show them how they can live life with God in spite of what they're going through. You will provide the light in the road of life. Our friend, Margie's husband, when I was on the phone with him and I said, and the phone wasn't working because there was no cell reception in that area. Long story, when I finally told him, I went through counting Lincoln County line. That's how far I got into Kansas going to Colorado. And he went that way and took a picture and sent it to me for me to remind myself that I was going the wrong road. And there's a lot of us who in the world are going through the wrong way, and you and I are the ones who shed light on the wrong way and show them the right way. I finally made it to the airport, as you well know, made it home, but it was because the day had cleared up. The darkness was gone. And there was light on the road, and I was able to find my way back. So you and I are guiding lights. But there's one more thing that I need to say this morning, and that light can also be a warning light. So it's a light needs to be seen, a light needs to guide, but also the light needs to be a warning light. Because sometimes we need desperately to warn people that their ways are not the right ways. You need to be a warning bell, a warning sign, or warning light, obviously, that they may not be living the way they should be living, and they may not be doing what they should be doing. And a lot of things we tell people, a lot of things we share with people are actually warning lights. And I have seen this in many people's lives. They live in a certain way, and you show up, and you become a light that warns. And you say, this is not how it's to be done. And you do it not so much with words, but by your living and your style, by your witnessing of living the life with God. You keep doing those things, and you're going to wind up there. You follow the light, and you don't have to worry about that. God will take care of you. And you stand there as a warning light to people that you stand for something. And that your relationship with the Lord is not necessarily a social event, but a life-transforming event that changed the course of your life. That you were doomed. That you were going on a highway of death. But now you've come to Christ and there's a new road. And that road is filled with light and understanding. And you tell people, if you keep going that way, you're going to wind up in the wrong side. Well, not that you're in the wrong side, but... So you and I need to think very carefully as to what is our function today and how are we functioning. Are people seeing your light? Or are you just like the rest of the bunch that are just lost? Do you stand out? Are people seeing you for who you are, a Christian, or are you just blind with everybody else? Are you guiding others? Do people rely on you? Do they ask you? Do they speak with you? Or is your vocabulary just as bad as theirs? And of course, are you warning people with your lifestyle? Well, sometimes we don't want to offend people. We love them so much, we're sending them to hell. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Don't offend them. But if you don't speak up for the Lord, where are they going to wind up? Did you know that you're the only one that can help that person? Did you know that you're uniquely situated socially, geographically, culturally, to help that person, that nobody else is around that person except you, and that you are the light for that person? And that if you don't do it, it won't be done? Well, if we don't do it, we're unfaithful, unfruitful to the Lord. And the Lord will hold us accountable someday. I'm not preaching down. I want to encourage you. But I also need to tell you, you got to be light. You got to shine. But it's also, verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Just two things, and then we will conclude. Because my messages need to conclude early. Because it's too heavy. I want to run for my life. People need to see your good works. So we're talking about salt, talking about light. And then Jesus says, people need to see with their eye your good works. But your good works are not, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't run out of words, but, they're not to be phony. They need to be genuine. People need to see God's work in your life in such a way that they say, that is God in their lives. Because those are the good works. And there's an addition to the good works that comes out. This is not, you don't know, it has to be good, but it has to be attractive. How attractive is God's work in your life? We talked about it last week, didn't we, that some people say, I would be a minister if only the minister would look like he's half alive. Well, some people go to church and they think they've been to, you know, we could, you know, with respect, to a strange, weird funeral with doom and gloom. Your life cannot be that way. Your life must be attractive. The good work of God in your life should be attractive. It should not be a deterrent to know Christ, to understand Christ, but it should be something that attracts people. I've seen some church folks, good grief, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. Of course, nobody understands what I'm saying. This is perfectly fine. I'm saying there needs to be a certain tone in your life, in the work that Christ has done in your life, that people look at that and they say, my goodness, that's what I want to be. Right? I find elements of coldness. I'm holy. We do not joke. We do not laugh because we're holy. And holiness is a very serious thing. I tell you the story. Years ago, I had a dean at the university, and you know that I'm somewhat jovial, and you know me. If you don't know me, well, God bless you. You're not missing much. But anyway, so we were discussing things, and then all of a sudden he stops the conversation. Just him and both of us were talking in the office. He said, well, now, brother, Doctor, I just want to say something to you. You're my associate dean. I said, yeah, I've been doing that for a while. So he said, yeah. He says, but I want you to be more serious. I don't want you to laugh. I looked at him bewildered. And said, what do you mean? Yeah, you should be serious. You're an associate dean. There should be this idea of holiness upon you. I said, this guy's smoking something. I sat there and said, you know, if you think that for me to continue being the associate dean here in the school, that I have to change my personality, I said, Jesus has been trying to work things out in me, and he has a hard time. I think it's impossible for you to persuade me to change something that I cannot change myself. He was very upset. Of course, I continue being who I am. And he left, and I keep going. See, there's this weirdness that if you're serving God, you have to be serious. Doom and gloom. Unattractive, which repels. And I'm not going to go into the way in which some people dress, thinking that that makes them holy or better. I got images in my mind, and I need to move on, because if I let them out, I may have a problem. You may misunderstand me, but I want people to see the beauty the Lord has worked in your life. That's the good works. You're beautiful. Because the Lord is in your heart. So if I was Jeff right now, I would sing. Something beautiful. But I'm not Jeff, so thank God. I don't get to sing. I tell Jeff, you should put songs when you preach. Right in the middle of it. Just sing it out. I give him all kinds of ideas, but then he does whatever he wants to do. Which is what it's supposed to be. But you see, the Lord has done beautiful things, and yet you hide the joy of the Lord. The victory is in your heart. And you become insipid. There's this harshness and coldness. Poor man who wanted me to change my personality. I think anybody has done a good job is Wilma, but other than Wilma, I don't think anybody else has been even trying to do it. But see, this is the problem. We have an idea of what should be when it's not. And I need you to know that they need to see the good works that God has done in your life. Let them see it. That's the light that you need to shine. It's not something that you create yourself. So some of you going through hard times, I know you are. I know. But somehow, some way, there's a light that shines through. Because in the midst of the hard moments of life, you can see Christ. You can see His light. And people see that. It's when we allow the Lord to shine through, that's when our good works are being seen by men and women. And it's God's light, not mine, but God's light. It's right going through. There's a tone to our life. It's not schizophrenic. It's a tone of life that makes you into a lovely person. Okay. So just tell the person next to you, I'm a lovely person. Go ahead. Oh, my goodness. Some of you just don't budge, do you? So... All right, just don't believe it so much. Okay. But we are people whom God has touched and blessed. We're headed for eternity. So if we need to let people see our good works, I also want you to know something else, that those good deeds that come out need to draw attention to God and not to yourself. Theatrical goodness is not what we want. We want to be very, very transparent with what God working in our lives. But let me just finish by giving you a quote. A great evangelist by the name of D.L. Moody was in an institution in where they took the Christian faith very seriously. And one night they had an all-night prayer meeting. How many of you remember going to an all-night prayer meeting? How many want to do that again? You can come. I'll see you. Boy, those are tough ones to go through. That is the hard. You know, the two things that are very hard to do. And one of them is to pray all night. And the second one is to try to stay awake praying all night. another time. But anyway, they had an all-night prayer meeting. And as they were leaving in the morning, they met Mr. Moody, and the young kids who were there were all happy. And he said, "What have you guys been doing all night?" And he said, "Oh, we've been praying all night. All night." And then this young guy says, "Mr. Moody, see how our faces shine." And Moody answered very gently, "Are you ready for this? Moses did not know that his face was shining." See, I would love to have Spanish now. So you see, goodness that is conscious, which draws attention to yourself, is not Christian goodness. Well, more to come. We're going to go through the Sermon on the Mount. We're talking about the righteousness that you and I should have to surpass the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That if you don't have better righteousness than they did, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, vengeance, charity, prayer, fasting, giving, judging, worry, the narrow gate, the tree and its fruits, and the two foundations in life. See, that's why we can go until the end of the year. That's the Sermon on the Mount. It's the pathway. It is the discipleship path. This is how you and I become disciples of Christ. And as we become his disciples, we learn from him. So right now, we have learned several things. First of all, the Beatitudes. Everyone, no matter what condition you're in, you're blessed by God. Your situation does not disqualify you. And then he goes on to say, okay, in spite of being insulted and put down, you're blessed. And then he tells us, you are the salt and you are the light. And those are the only two things we've touched this last 2 weeks. So as I really end my remarks this morning, I need to encourage you to read the Sermon on the Mount more than once. Read it several times. Read it. Know it. Read it. Read it. And reread it with an open mind and open heart. Because if you're going to be a true disciple of Christ, the Sermon on the Mount are your marching orders. So today, as you leave this place of worship, let your light shine. So if you're going to go to a restaurant, how do you treat, are you going to treat the person who's going to wait on your table? If you're going to go shopping, how are you going to treat those people? Are they going to look at you and say, otro más? Or are they going to say, oh, well, look at that. Are they going to see Christ? Are they going to see the good work that Christ has done in your life? Ah, that's discipleship. And it's a 24/7 proposition. May God help us. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you because you are helping us. And because you've given us a path, Lord. You've given us a way. You've given us direction, Lord, as to how to behave, how to act, how to carry out our lives. Thank you, Lord. And you're telling us that you are going to work through us to make all this happen. Father, let us find a comfortable place in you to live out the life that you called us to live. That we will not be sweating it out, but that we will living out the work that you've already done in our lives. And we give you the praise and the glory. Help us to be light. Help us to be salt. In Jesus' name, amen. So how do you become part of the family of God? How do you become part of what God is doing? You just need to do just one thing. Say to the Lord, I don't know what's going on here this morning, but I want this. I said, Lord, come into my life. It's coming to my life. And when you say, Lord, come into my life, He does it. He respects you as a human being, as who you are, but He comes into your life and He begins to work with you. And the persons next to you that you see this morning will help you get there. Because everybody here knows the Lord, knows how to guide you in those baby steps. And they're baby steps. But this is not for a privileged few. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that as whoever believeth on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Just say, Lord, come into my heart. And to encourage some of you, how many of you already said, Lord, come into my heart? Let me see. Look at that. So you're in good company. So just say, Lord, come into my heart. And He will. And we'll pray with you. We'll minister to you. We'll do everything. But the important thing is for you to say, Lord, come into my heart. And when He comes into your heart, you will know it. Then ask people, did the Lord come into my heart? How did God come in? And we will help you. We'll deal with you on a one-to-one basis. But this morning, I'm glad that we gave you an opportunity to simply say, Lord, come into my heart. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, okay, so we're done? We're done, right? How many are ready to go? Oh, you're ready to get out of here, huh? See how you treat the waitress. Okay, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift His face to you, give you peace. We do this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Amen.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.